Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Roxanne is a relationship girl. I could tell you that.
There was a period of time, right before, a couple years ago, where I was involved with I met a married man. I'm not proud to say that, but anyway, it was strictly sexual. Well, I should take that back. It became very emotional. We became best friends.
Oh, wow.
Really great friends.
It was,
but
was
we were the
open?
Only two people that knew what was going on.
Holy
no one knew.
Shit.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a sex expert, cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
And my son is a stand-up comic, a mime, and, of course, a Buddhist clown.
And together we chat about sex twice a week, sometimes 3 times a week.
Because we love doing it.
We love doing it. We love going into those areas where most people are uncomfortable and
digging.
And digging and being a part of it, because that's the only way we feel like we can accept ourselves and grow. Look at that.
I think I like that.
Today is no exception. We have an awesome guest on the show.
Oh boy. This is one of my BFFs, by the way, for many, many years.
Roxanne is visiting from out of town, and we brought her into the studio to just uncover all.
Yeah, I don't know if I went over this during our interview, but I met her several years ago because when you become single again, when I became single, I needed single friends to go out with. I was in the married crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my married friends said, I got a single friend that you might want to hang out with.
And you guys just hit the town and cooged it up?
We cooged it up. And also what was great about her is that she's a connector. She has a lot of single friends. So she introduced me to this whole group of single friends. And they all made me feel very welcome. They're some of my best friends today. And so it gives you a whole different perspective because, well, first of all, they were all divorcees, not widows. And it's an interesting group then.
Well, I thought the reason that I think she's so special in today's podcast is because she's extremely honest and open.
Yeah.
And she's over the age of 60. She looks very good. I mean, I think she still has a vibrant sex life going on here.
Oh, you think? You're going to find out.
And
but she's hot.
She's hot. She tells it like it is.
Yeah.
And she's not afraid to go there. I mean, we talked about things like she gave her daughter a vibrator.
You like that one.
We get into her threesomes experience.
I like that one.
And then we spend a lot of time talking about her experience being with someone in a married, in a marriage.
Right. She was the other woman.
She was the other woman. And we get to hear that perspective, which I was so fascinated by because I've never had that experience, and I think I had a lot of preconceived notions about the other woman that, like, she kind of debunked.
Like you were judging the other woman.
Not even like in a horrible, awful way, but I think just probably in an unconscious level, I think that I would be like, I would never want to be the other woman, and I can see why you would, and why it's not necessarily horrible thing.
You were never the other man?
No, not as far as I know, no.
The
one and only.
I don't know if you knew this, but I was the other woman with your father.
No way. Oh, I did know this. Yeah.
So I was the other woman for like a good 6 months.
Meaning my dad was in a relationship.
Yeah. Well,
not a marriage, but a boyfriend, girlfriend relationship.
Back in college, and we were both friends, really good friends, actually. And I talk about this in this podcast where after we became lovers, he would say to me, you told me so much more before we ended up becoming intimate.
So you lost something when he stopped seeing the other woman?
Well, so what happened was he didn't stop seeing the other woman. He started seeing me and the other woman at the same time. Like, she was kind of prudish and boring. And so, like, he would go out with her during, like, the wee evening hours, like between 6 and 9, and take her home. And then I'd come over at, like, 10 and hang out all night.
Do you think he was fucking both of you guys?
Definitely.
And you didn't care?
I'm the one who was the other woman.
You were down with it.
Eventually, I did care. So after about 6 months of being the other woman, thinking, what the fuck is he doing? Of course he's going to want to be with me. I'm going to just give him the ultimatum. I'm like, okay, listen. You know, she's going to all the fraternity dances. It's my turn, right? I think you should make a decision, her or me. And of course you're going to choose me. And guess what he says? I made a decision. I'm choosing her. I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck you. And he goes, she needs me more. I'm like, she needs you more? This is why you decided to choose her over me? Because she needs you more? You want a needy, whiny, boring ass girl?
And then you ended up with him.
Well, wait, you're jumping the gun. The end of the story is that I say, fuck you. I go smoke a carton of cigarettes, because at the time I was smoking. End up sleeping just in the same bed with one of his fraternity brothers, not sexual, which we talk about later on in our Patreon.
We also shared the story on the podcast, which is kind of why I'm skipping ahead a little bit.
Oh, well, the bottom line is that I don't.
Well, you can tell the whole story.
Well, for those of you who
missed
out on the end of the story, obviously we ended up together because that's the guy that I'm married. But what happened was that after 6 months or so later, he had broken up with her and just came sniveling back to me saying he made a huge mistake. And when I go with him to a wedding, and I said, hell no. And after many apologies and him burning her pictures in a candle in a restaurant.
I'm sorry? Burning pictures in a candle?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure she was out of his life. And I said, prove it. And he had a picture of her in his wallet. He pulled it out and he took it and put it in one of those like candles on a table at a restaurant.
Did the whole room start smelling like shit?
I don't remember. Why are you concerned with that?
You could have been creating a whole fucking
no. It was
like fire situation
it was
in the
restaurant.
It was a
wallet-sized photo. It wasn't like he took out a photo album. But anyway, I guess that kind of was a visual of the burning of that relationship. And after that, we were with each other every day and ended up ultimately getting married.
Until
somebody
part.
Decided to stab him to death. But
okay,
before
Jesus
that time,
Christ. On that note, I hope you guys very much enjoyed this episode we have with Roxanne. I think it'll give you an awesome new perspective from someone you typically wouldn't hear from.
Yeah, she's going to open your eyes. And the fact of the matter, which is really cool, is she's going to teach you the difference between like a young way of thinking and an older way of thinking. And what's also cool about her is her confidence in her physical and mental appearance and ability. And I think that's what really causes her to be one of those attractive people that when someone meets her, they're immediately turned on by her.
I would like to thank everyone who has left us a review recently on iTunes. If you want to help us out, that's a tremendous way to do it because it helps us with search engine optimization. It helps us get new guests.
And you get a sticker.
Well, you will not be getting a sticker. We agreed.
I did not agree to it. I did not agree to that.
It's unbelievable. You're giving stickers to fucking everyone.
No, I'm not. But there are some people that have extenuating circumstances that couldn't write during January, and they deserve a sticker as well.
All right, if you leave us a review,
we're extending
and let
it
us know
to the end of February.
Your address will send you a goddamn sticker
if you're in the United States.
This is unbelievable. All right, I wanted to read a review because I'm very grateful for these. This one says, "Entertaining and Educating 5 Stars" by Kelly N. Hi from Cleveland, Ohio. I always look forward to new episodes. Mostly I laugh. Cam's stories are very entertaining to me. Lol. I also learn a lot sexually as well, which is why I started listening in the first place. So keep doing what you're doing, and I wish you all the best. Smiley face.
Oh,
thank you, Kelly.
And
I wish you all the best. We will continue doing what we're doing just because you're leaving us wonderful reviews. Thank you to everyone who's left us a review.
Do you think she's referring to your story recently of...
the edibles?
Diarrhea? Yeah. Do you think she was referring to your experience eating edibles and having diarrhea?
I think that it was not funny at all. I think that was so traumatic for some people.
Anyways, if you guys want to hear that, you should definitely go back a couple episodes and check that episode out. It was very funny.
Also, if you want to support the show, please become a Patreon of ours, a patron on Patreon.
So you know how you spell Patreon?
Patreon.
.com/sextalkwithmymom.
It's a little online community that we're fostering. You'll get some bonus episodes there.
And we got some new patrons that we wanted to announce.
Amanda, thank you very much for becoming our patron.
Thank you, Mandy.
Mandy.
Mama Rue, I think was her name.
I also want to say that at the end of this episode, we we are left with a remaining question about, can you just be friends with someone who you have sexual tension with without consummating?
Yeah.
And we talk about that in our Patreon bonus episode.
It really gets
hot. With Roxanne. Yes.
It's a real bell ringer, if you will. So we also have a very cool thing that we're doing right now. We're trying, we're calling it reading porn with my mom.
No, my mom and I read a porno.
Okay, I knew it was something like that. But basically, we're not sure how many times a month we were going to be doing it, but we're definitely going to do it again, where we take a little piece of erotica that I have, over collection over the years. And
old-ass erotica.
And it's not necessarily old, because we're going to go right, I think we should go right into the 21st century.
All right.
But anyway, we're reading it out loud and giving our little wise tidbits of knowledge and reviews.
So you can watch us do that live on Instagram Live by following us at Sex Talk with My Mom.
Yeah, on Instagram, but it's also in our podcast episode. So you'll be able to hear it or see it.
All right.
Or participate in it.
On that note, sing about Moot.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the cheaters or maybe natties. Mm.
All right.
That didn't work at all. Should I try it again? And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the fun and entertaining guesties. That was better.
Oh, it's getting worse. Roxanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Roxanne.
I know that was going to go there. That.
I figured.
So how many times a day do you get hurt? That
now? Only with you. Thank you.
So I wanted to play a little clip from the first video my mom and I ever recorded that actually prompted the podcast.
Okay.
Because you actually get a little bit of a shout out in this video.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, I had a crush on you.
Let's see what it says.
No, I'm not suggesting that you have sex on the first date. I'm just saying that eventually you can lead in that direction.
Okay, so you're a proponent of sex. I got it.
I'm a proponent of sex. Sex is a healthy thing.
All right, got it.
You a proponent of celibacy?
No, I am a proponent of using sex to get close to another person. You know,
spiritual sex.
You call it spiritual. Yeah, I mean, a big spiritual sex fiend.
Okay. How's that going for you?
Very poorly.
Why?
I have not gotten to know anyone spiritually in a long time. I don't think I've ever spiritually had sex before. Hmm. I don't need the pity from my mother. The pity? Hmm?
I'm sorry.
The fuck?
Oh. All right, one day you'll experience. Look at this. This is... All you women out there, look
okay.
at this.
All right.
There's women out there that are in the list. Look, I just got a text today.
This Don't bring this shit up.
No, this is what I just got this text today. It's from a girlfriend of mine. She just turned 60. You think Cam is too young for me?
Yes.
He's so cute and he's got a great aura. Spiritual.
It was just followed with me with my hands in my face. But I appreciate that I'm sitting with a spiritual person who appreciates my aura.
Well, she's a Pisces.
This is why.
This is it.
There's a Pisces connection.
Yes. It's an old soul.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Besides the fact, other than the fact that,
What? She was hitting on you.
Yes.
So, right.
But you were visiting town and my mom was like, oh, we need to have Roxanne on the show.
Yeah.
Mom, why did you feel that urge?
Roxanne is... She has a very colorful life. And the main reason, though, that I've always admired Roxanne was because of her. She's very genuine and open and honest, much more vulnerable and much more wild than any person I've ever met.
Wow. Do you identify as someone like open and wild?
No, I'm open, but
okay,
I don't.
Okay. I'm just going to talk about one instance that happened about 3 or 4 years ago. It was nothing. Nothing ever happened. But I'm just saying we were at a pool party in someone's backyard. And I think we've all had a couple of drinks and everything. But for whatever reason, all of a sudden I see you decide you're going to disrobe and just go skinny dipping in front of the entire party. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And you're like, hey, it'd be fun.
Of course,
she has
this?
No recollection of this.
No, I don't. I mean, I know I've skinny dipped at parties before, but I don't remember being
But for
there
me,
with you.
That was like, whoa, what a wild chick. This is a very conservative town, a suburb. And I was just impressed. I was like, this is my kind of girl. Someone who's got, like, you know, no inhibition sometimes, which is fun compared to the rest of the conservative world. It's fun.
Yeah. Thank you. What, it is fun. What, I know. I don't know. I mean, I grew up in a small town, so.
What? Where did it come from? Did you have parents that were pretty wild, or was this just?
I think it's just my personality, my who I am. And I don't look at myself as wild, but I guess.
Some other people are. People. I do. Well, compared to.
People are surprised sometimes what comes out of my mouth, I guess.
Well, that's one thing. She's very bold. But seriously, you don't consider yourself different than the rest of the women on the North Shore of Chicago?
Good question. You know what? It's funny because you and I talk so openly and honestly about our experiences and sex and, you know, and talking to our children and things like that, that I just assume it's normal until I mention the time that my daughter was about to have sex for the first time with her boyfriend. And I went and I got a vibrator to show her.
I love this.
You know, well, this is not to show her to use the vibrator as much as just saying, all right, well, you know, this is a penis is going to, you know.
How old was she at the time?
She was
12.
No,
just kidding.
God forbid. I think she was probably a senior in high school. So, or yeah.
And how did you know she was about to have sex?
Because we talked about it.
Oh.
So I wanted to talk to her about being satisfied herself because.
Oh, I love that.
If you remember, you know, in high school, no offense to you boys, but you just, you know, you don't really care about your partner. You don't really know what you're
doing. I didn't
have
any partners in high school. So I didn't care about anyone because it wasn't there.
Yeah, you can't lump Cam into any of those categories. Exactly. But you could say that the majority of men, like when you went to school, were like this.
Right. Right, right, right. Like that scene in Sex and the City where he just jumps on and like humps and humps.
Yeah. I love those kind of guys. Those are very considerate.
What was that conversation like when you brought her a vibrator?
Well, I brought out the vibrator to show her basically that something like that size will, you know, I don't know, just try to explain to her that she should.
Were you explaining like the clit where
make sure that she's satisfied and not to just get involved physically with somebody for their own needs, that her needs need to be met too.
She's not a, what do they call that, a cum bucket or whatever.
and I mentioned it to some friends. And they were appalled that I would talk to my daughter like, but my mother never talked to me about sex ever.
Mine neither.
What was her response?
At first, she was embarrassed. No, she listened. You know, I guess she knows that I'm a little open. So it didn't surprise her.
Was she like ashamed or was she receptive?
She was, she was receptive.
Well, that's awesome.
Plus, you know, I keep my toys in the drawer next to my bed. And, you know, your kids always go in your drawer.
We just talked about that literally yesterday. And, you know, my response was, if a kid goes in my drawer and he or she finds something that they were surprised to find and horrified about it, maybe that's their problem because they should not have been snooping in my drawers.
I found condoms in my father's drawer.
You were snooping.
I was
you
snooping.
You deserved to
and
find
I found, and I was thrilled that my parents were actually having sex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I found a book of erotica in my father's drawer.
Ah.
And it was a surprise. I was actually mainly surprised because he's a pretty macho man. And to think of a macho man owning erotica is a hilarious idea.
I don't
idea.
Even, if you were reading if you, a book. If you actually read it. This book, it was hardly erotica. It was basically porn in written form.
Oh.
No, it was not erotica.
Either way.
Did you know the book was there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
either way.
Did you put it there?
No, he and I would read it together sometimes.
Oh.
It was a little. Little paperback. It's more like a, you know, we've been doing a lot with erotica lately, and it gets you in the. I mean,
been doing a lot with erotica lately. Actually,
what do you mean by that?
What do you mean?
Basically, yesterday it was the first time we've done anything with erotica. But what we did with erotica?
Are you talking about you and Cam now?
Yeah, we read a nice
also,
show.
Also, you shouldn't say we're doing a lot with
erotica.
Exactly,
I'm not quite sure right now.
We're both enjoying erotica together.
It could
together.
Be child abuse. So, seriously,
yeah,
what are you
okay.
talking about?
First of all, it's not child abuse, but it's more like incest. Incest.
That, okay.
We did one podcast episode based on another podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno, where they read his father's erotica that he wrote.
Oh.
So, instead, I was like, well, I'm talking to my mom about sex anyway. Might as well take a piece of erotica and see what it's like if we read it together. And it was
kinda,
fun.
And we hear our
sexual.
Reactions.
It's Don't not, worry.
It's actually, it's more for humor than I think anything else.
Yeah.
See, I think it's great that the way you two talk, because I didn't talk to my son like this, just my daughter.
Okay, so can we get a little, I need a little background on what's going on. So how many kids do you have?
I have two.
And you're currently single, but you know, you've been divorced, you've been living with a guy for many years, you had all different types of relationships.
Right.
Okay, so, and the son is older or younger?
Older.
And you don't have this conversation with him?
No, I've not really ever, I don't think I've ever talked about sex, other than teaching him, you know, putting women first, you know, even opening doors, that kind of, put the toilet seat down. A girl liked that better than if you leave it up.
Mm-hmm.
He actually put the toilet seat down the other night when I was with him, and he brought it to my attention. First time ever.
Wow.
So
that's because he's going to get married.
Oh, that's funny he's getting into the territory of sex.
But just sex, I always thought, I don't know, maybe I felt that his dad or his stepdad or somebody, you know, could be talking to him about it. I knew he wouldn't be comfortable.
Okay. You kind of felt it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not like me who just like, as soon as I see they're uncomfortable, I'll go even further. Oh, you're not comfortable? Well, let's dig a little deeper then.
I did. I think I've asked him in the past, so, because I did find condoms in his room and, you know, cream. So
he never had to come to him, was like, Mom, I broke my dick or something. I'm in the hospital.
And so it happened to Cam.
No, he never had to.
Oh, that's good.
So if he did, I don't know.
But you do have, he has men in his life that he could go to as well. Do you think he does go to them?
No, I don't think, do you? I think most of the guys...
I mean, I have my friends, you know,
about it like women do.
I have my friends who I will go to that, you know, I can talk to about sex and stuff like that. I think mainly friends. I don't have a lot of older male. I've had friends who have taught me like different masturbation techniques that I've never even thought of. It was an awkward conversation when we
I was going to say that had to be very awkward.
Who the hell is teaching you masturbation techniques?
I'll tell you after the show.
Oh my God.
I mean, there are different ways to masturbate that I wasn't even aware of.
All right.
I think, even little kids, some of them learn by like rubbing a pillow against it. Other people are like using water. A lot of people are, you know,
bathtub.
A lot of people we've talked to don't even know how to masturbate. You have to get taught like later in life.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Okay.
So, all right.
Yes.
Let's circle back. Okay. So we were talking about how you don't have this conversation with your son, but you do have it with your daughter. And for you, where are you at now? Sexually, romantically, like what's going on in your life?
Roxanne is celibate. Hardly.
Where am I? I'm involved, I guess, with somebody sexually.
And did it take a while
two
to get
people.
To
two
being
people.
Involved? Two people.
Two people is not easy. You know what? I don't like that. Two people.
Is it on the same day?
Here's my issue with dating now at this stage in life. Okay, seriously, how do you get involved with more than one person physically?
Well, why would it? Does it have to do with age, or is that something else?
I think in general, how do you? I'm a relationship person by nature, believe it or not. So
believe it or not,
seriously. So when you're involved, how do you be involved? How do you sexually be involved with two people?
It fucking terrifies me.
At the same time, I'm talking about in general.
Well, is it because you're basically a monogamous person? You're a serial monogamous,
right?
As opposed to being polyamorous, there are people that are able to love whoever they're with at whatever time.
I think you have to be extremely open with at least for me, I would have to be extremely open with both people to be aware. Hey, I am seeing someone else, and you know, I've had some feelings. I feel differently about you, and this is how I feel about you, but. Yeah. Would you not feel comfortable sharing that information with the person?
I shared it with one.
Oh, and yes. how did he respond?
Wonderful. Easy. Because we talk about everything. You find that you can't talk about everything with everybody.
Isn't it amazing?
It's mm-hmm. It really is.
What is it that prevents you from being able to share all this openness with the other person?
The way they react
of
to
course.
Us.
Exactly.
Because it has nothing to do with me. No. Yeah. I'm an open book. I'll share anything. Right? Yeah. You want to know, I'll tell you.
Yeah. How would you feel if the guy says to you, actually, I'm seeing you and another woman?
If a guy... it's funny that you say that, because one guy that I started to see... is non-committable, as he puts it. Okay, so with that said, I said, as long as you're seeing other women, I'm not going to be with you. Mm. So there, I didn't want that.
Okay.
Yeah. And at least you were both on the same page.
Yes.
Exactly. Except that you were seeing two people at the same time right now.
No. Well, it happened one time and then I was uncomfortable with it.
What is the fear?
I had to pick.
Wait, what was that?
I had to decide. All right. So a couple weeks ago, I went out one night with one guy and one night with the other, both of whom I've been seeing for a little while. And then I spent the night with one and then spent the next night with the other.
Uh-huh. You go, girl.
Yeah, right. And that was really, but I didn't like that. I didn't like it.
What didn't you like about it?
I didn't, because I can't, how do you get in? Because I'm an emotional person. I like getting involved with somebody and I wasn't comfortable being emotionally involved.
You felt this
physically
honest.
Involved. Right. One guy knew and the other one didn't.
Uh-huh.
And
did the first one know or the second one?
The second one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was able to do this when I was single.
There we go.
I don't know why I was able to do this because I wasn't thinking of any of them in terms of a relationship, which is the opposite of what you're looking for.
Okay, so
I was looking for just companionship and sex. So I'd have one guy come over one night, have sex with him, have a great time, see it in a couple months, and the next day I'd have someone else come over.
See, that's what I've, you know what,
little whore mother.
You're a whore mother. But that's actually how it's supposed to be, I think.
That's what I needed. My husband had just passed away. I was done grieving. I was out for adventure. I wasn't out for a relationship. Why not? And one guy said to me once, because I'm like, I can't have sex with you. I barely know you. He's like, why aren't people just chill about sex? And I thought to myself, why aren't I chill about sex?
Exactly.
Chill about sex, mainly because you can get diseases from sex. You can get, people can be on the same, on very different pages. I guess you can have that conversation. You can have all the conversation. You can make sure that the person's being honest with you when they talk about disease and stuff like that.
Well, I know that, I'll find out if they're having sex with other people. So it takes that off the table. If I know that they're not having sex with somebody else and I'm the only person, that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I'm still not comfortable. Then why am I with two people? Sometimes I just wonder what the heck I'm looking for.
This is a good question.
There you go.
And I think it varies with the person that you're with. I mean, maybe you could see this person as just being a great lover.
Oh, I like this perspective.
Yeah. And you know, because I had this another situation happen where I was so turned on by this guy, but I knew he was a complete asshole. And I'm like, why am I with him? Because he fucking turns me on. That's why.
Oh, wow. I think it's interesting when people say, what are you looking for? It might not be... It like a general, oh, this is where I'm at in life. I guess it could be. I'm looking to settle down. I'm looking for this. But sometimes you're kind of just open and you're like, I'm looking for whatever I'm feeling with this person.
Right.
This is a very interesting perspective.
But I would deliberately choose non-available people, like guys that were much, much younger than me. Not like 10, 15 years. We're talking like 20 years, specifically when I first became single, because I did not want to be... You know, if it's that big of an age difference, there's, you know, we can be like great lovers and friends, but we knew ultimately this is not going to be our next down the road riding the sunset guy.
Was it weird that you were dating people that were almost my age?
They weren't though. Cause that
20 years younger than you. We have a 30-year difference over here.
Oh, that's true. I'm not 100% sure about the ages at that point. Maybe they were 15 years younger. I don't know. I'm just saying that it was they were significantly less mature than me in a different place in life for sure. Like some of the guys.
And there was a purposeful choice.
Yeah, purposeful choice of guys that I knew one day they want to get married and have kids. And yeah. I knew one day I was not going to get married and have kids. So it was a good.
So you knew it was only going to be a few weeks or whatever.
Which is why I like the.
What if they liked you and kept coming back?
They did.
I'm sure they did.
Every single time. Why wouldn't they?
I had a guy one time, I called him my one night stand until he came back two nights, three nights, four nights. And I was like, okay, well, that's not going to stick.
No, I liked it. I liked the not. That's what I like about the cougar cub relationship. I like the non committedness of the whole thing where you can just. Hey, I'll see you when around. You don't have to say, I'll see you next week, or that you don't have to date. And then you get a call in about 2 or 3 weeks. Hey, you want to get together? Sure. And then you get together. The only thing is mutual respect of each other's time. Don't blow each other off. And that's it.
And we'd like to take a quick second to thank our sponsor, Care Of.
Ooh, I love Care Of.
Care Of is a personalized vitamin subscription service that my mother and I both love to pieces.
Oh, we do.
Well, so here's the issue.
You don't know what kind of vitamins to take.
I have no clue.
So what do you do?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't go to one of those vitamin stores because I get completely overwhelmed and I just start taking vitamins that end up causing some erectile issues. What I tell you I will do is I go to takecareof.com. I take a 5-minute survey. They tell me exactly what my diet lacks. And then they send me little packets of personalized vitamins.
And then what I love about it is normally I'm running out of all the vitamins that I need. Yeah. I need like 10 every day. And then when I do have them, I forget to take them with food. So what I tend to do is I put them in my pocket. Oh. And with just loosely in my pocket. So one time I take them all at once. So I take the whole bunch of them out of my pocket and I think I swallowed a lint ball at the same time. So
you ate a lint ball?
Yes.
No.
So what Care Of does is they make individual packets with my name on it, with a little quote or saying of the day. And then inside are my little vitamins that I take in every day without having to worry about lint balls.
without having to worry about lint balls, as we all do. So guess what, our special lovely listener? They are offering you a special deal.
Is it a 50% off the first month deal?
Yes. For 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter promo code MOM50, M-O-M-5-0. Get healthy, baby.
Well, you weren't looking for anything.
So exactly. are you in an open place like that, or are you looking for something particular right now?
I'm looking for something particular. I'm looking for a relationship. I like relationships.
Roxanne is a relationship girl. I could tell you that.
There was a period of time a couple years ago where I was involved with I met a married man. I'm not proud to say that, but anyway, it was strictly sexual. Well, I should take that back. It became very emotional. We became best friends.
Oh, wow.
Really great friends.
It was.
But
was
we were the only two people that knew what was going on.
Holy
no one knew.
Shit.
And we'd see each other every week. But I wanted nothing more. I wanted absolutely nothing more. I wasn't one of those women that wanted to ruin anything in his life. We both were going through midlife crises at the same time.
Oh, wow.
He was, I think he's 10 or 11 years younger than me.
And handsome.
So very good looking. So he had just turned 50. So I think that was his crisis. And mine, I had had back like a really bad breakup. So I didn't want to get involved with anybody either. And we just happened to, it was weird how we met. We connected on LinkedIn.
What?
I came across, I know, of all things.
Get the fuck out.
No. I came across as somebody he should connect with. And
AKA he was attracted to you?
Yeah, but he had seen me. This is really weird. We had seen each other 5 years before that at different places in the suburbs where we lived. And both of us remembered seeing each other.
Oh, interesting.
So when he connected with me.
Roxanne is unforgettable.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Well, so are you.
I mean, seriously, you're very unique. There's some people that can kind of blend in with the crowd, not Roxanne.
Did he just see you or did you guys have a conversation?
I had a conversation with him.
Okay.
Which is very interesting too, because most people don't. So we ended up, seriously, right? Who sits down at a coffee shop and talks about it?
Yeah, you.
I did. So because I didn't want to.
You sat down with him or vice versa?
I sat down with him. Well, I didn't want him to ruin his life. So I felt the need to talk to him about if we moved into a sexual relationship, what it could do to him.
The first time you
met? I have no idea why I did this.
The first time you met?
First time I met him.
How did you know he was even, how did you know anything about him?
Because when he connected with me on LinkedIn, we started up writing each other.
Hold on. I'm getting confused with the chronology. All right. So you met him once?
And we connected on LinkedIn.
It was just, so LinkedIn was the first connection.
First connection.
So then how did you see each other at one point?
We didn't
you
see.
You said 5 years before that you had seen each other.
We saw each other 5 years before that. Never met. Just saw each other at a bar.
Oh,
I saw him at.
This is the question.
Wait,
yeah.
I saw him. Oh, wow. You want to know what? I saw him at Starbucks with his wife and they were riding their bikes. And I remembered him because I thought they were such a pretty couple.
Oh, wow.
And what a gorgeous man. And he saw me at a local bar and asked his friend who I was. same time period.
So there's
5 years
chemistry
previous.
Going on.
Never saw each other or talked to each other. Never saw each other or talked to each other again until I appeared on LinkedIn.
It's a small world.
And then he was like, I should reach out to her because I was attracted to her.
We started talking. We started texting or writing on LinkedIn until his HR person said, okay, you can't use this anymore.
This is not Tinder.
Right. And it went on for about, he was going out of town. So it went on for about 4 or 5 weeks of communicating till we met in person.
Uh-huh.
And we met at a coffee shop. And I said, I was very open about it. And I said, you can, you know, this could ruin your life. If we go there sexually, it might be hard for you to reenter
Holy
your home.
Shit.
So you have to weigh all the options before you do this. I don't know why I felt this connection to him that I never really felt before, that I just didn't want anything to screw up his life.
Wow.
Very generous.
Actually. I know, wasn't
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what the relationship was all about.
And then what was the next step?
So
he's like, no, I want to screw up my life.
Yeah. No, I want to have sex.
We can do this.
So we made plans and he came over and that was it. I mean, and then we just started once a week, twice a week, he would come over to my apartment and would be like our thing.
And what did you tell me at the time? Like he had never met someone like you.
We felt like we were in college.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's what it felt like. You
what
know?
What is? How would you describe that?
Just very easy, very open. No tension, no stress, no anything. It was one of those things where for an hour and a half out of the day, the two of us were just in our own world.
Wow.
And my apartment was, I don't want to describe it because I don't want anyone to know who I am. So anyway, but it was amazing. It was really an unbelievable experience. And we became really, really good friends.
And so did it end?
It ended because I left town. I went somewhere else.
Okay.
So it ended.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you feel any remorse about him doing this to his wife?
I know. No.
I love it. I told you she's an honest girl.
I know. But see,
I mean, it's
I know
his
because
choice,
you know what?
You know?
Whenever you read all of these like sayings now that they're all plastered all over Instagram and everything, it's always, you know, would don't do to somebody what you wouldn't want them to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
I had hoped, here's what I had hoped. And I'd said this to him one time. I said, because there were a couple times where during it, I tried to break it off because at first, when he would go home, he would keep staying in touch with me, you know, texting, whatever. And I'd say, you can't do this because, you know, it's going to screw up your home time. And it did. So we had to stop that. And a couple times I tried to break it off for his sake. And I'm babbling and I forgot what
no,
I was saying.
No, I'm fascinated by this.
His wife. I said that I had hoped that whatever. Okay. His wife never gave him a blowjob. They were married for, I don't know, 25
not
years.
Sex, nothing.
It was, and she was just not into it.
Well, I didn't really ask because I felt that was an invasion of her privacy.
When you say didn't give a blowjob, didn't suck his dick at all?
She never sucked his dick.
During
the
sex?
The whole time they've been together.
Now, I'm not talking about a straight out, just solo blowjob. I'm saying during sex, she never went down on him?
Right.
But
was he going down on her?
I think that she, I don't think she wanted him to. Again, I didn't want to cross boundaries. I didn't want to start talking about his wife because I felt that
was a big boner
killer. Isn't
that funny?
I'm sleeping with her husband. I'm having sex with her husband, but I don't want to be disrespectful.
Oh, that makes sense.
But that's how I felt conversation-wise. So I had hoped that whatever he and I did together, he was would be able to bring home.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
She was a sex therapist.
There was a book one time that I read called The Secret Affair, and it listed, I don't know, five different reasons why people have affairs. And one of them said that a lot of times when people have affairs, it actually makes their relationship better at home with their spouse.
There is something.
That was my hope here.
It definitely spices things up. I don't necessarily know if that might, but it could. Who knows? I mean, I know people who've married couples who've, that one of them had an affair and and they're stronger than ever now. So, you know,
I do too.
Anything can happen.
Did she ever find out?
No.
Wow.
She never found out.
This is so fascinating from your perspective. Like, it was his decision, you know, like you even told him straight up, like, you could be ruining your life right now if you want to proceed. Right. I'm into this, but it's your decision.
So I think in the long run, it enhanced his life. And I think, and it did mine too. So for that whole year that we were together, I was working, I was dating. I didn't feel the urge to have a relationship with somebody, a monogamous relationship. I was being satisfied sexually, which was great. So it was easier for me to be, when I would go out with guys, to just become friends and do what I wanted to do and, you know, get to know people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took that pressure off. And I think for him, it gave him a sense of being again, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, he turned 50, and I think that was tough for him. And I think that this relationship made him feel, you know, manly again.
Like, well, that's Esther Perel's always saying that. It's not, people cheat for different reasons. And
it sounds like it was not at all about the wife in the situation.
It's about
it wasn't like he was dissatisfied with her. It was just that he probably wanted to feel young again. He probably wanted that feeling in college.
And there were things that he didn't have that he wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. And I'm not condoning it.
But you're just expressing what you think happened.
Yeah.
So
this is an interesting idea, by the way, of whether head should be part or like. I guess it's probably everyone has their own opinion on this, like whether it's a very vital part of sex, whether going down on someone is critical.
You know, it's funny you say that because somebody recently asked me that. I forget what he said to me, a guy friend of mine, he was asking women what they thought was more intimate, somebody going down on them or them going down on somebody. And I said that I find that a blowjob or sucking, I find that sucking a guy's dick is so intimate. Because if I'm really into you, I mean, like, that's like you, the physical part of what it does to a guy is amazing.
If you feel very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even power. Yeah. You feel powerful, but you also, I know I'm giving so much pleasure.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The power is in your
amazing.
Hand.
Are you comparing that to receiving?
Like when a guy goes down on you?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know what it's, I think it's, I don't know if I, which one I would pick first because if,
I'll tell you what I'd pick first in a heartbeat.
I think if a guy, I know, well, if a guy goes down on me, that's very, you know what? It's very easy. Even if you're not into this guy, if you take your head, like for me, if I take my mind off of the person,
thinking about George
and
Clooney.
All I think about is having an orgasm, and it, you know, it's a no brainer. If a guy goes down on me, I'm going to come. But for me to go down on a guy and really get into it, I find that very intimate.
And
I really got to be into you.
I always thought, I was talking to some other people about this as well, but as a woman, say your job was a prostitute, would you rather, I still don't get why blowjobs are less money than having sex.
I know, I would want to give a blowjob if I were a prostitute.
Hey, just go.
You'd rather have sex and or
whack them off.
Penetration.
Yeah. Or a hand job, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd rather have sex and be able, because as much as I love sex, if I were a prostitute, I could take my mind off of who I was with and just think, oh, okay, you know, whatever, just
let them do the work.
Come, whatever.
It might be related to the fact that all of your sensory inputs are, or you have a lot more in your head than you do in your crotch. So like,
and you got liquid spurting into your mouth.
It's such a sensory overload, I guess, when going down on someone, because you're like, whoa, I'm face to face with their genitals right now. Whereas if you're just fucking someone, like with penetration, you can kind of, you're right. Close your eyes, and that person's kind of away. They're like 2 feet away from you almost.
When you think about the pleasure, if you listen to a guy, okay, so if you're intimate with a guy and you are if you're whether you're making out, okay, and then you go down on a guy, or they go down on you, or you're having intercourse, the most pleasure you can tell by the way they move, by the way the sounds that come out of their mouth, is when you're down on them.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Without a doubt, that's the it's the most pleasurable thing you can do to a guy.
Yeah, of course.
So you, for me, I really got to be into you. To want to do that, to make give you so much pleasure.
And then it becomes more of like an erotic mindset as opposed to just like a physical experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really wild.
Yeah.
Wow. So then to go back to the question of whether it is essential for good sex or a relationship for you, what would you say?
I'm sorry.
For a relationship, you would expect this then.
Yeah. I mean, could you be in a relationship with someone who wouldn't go down on you and you weren't giving?
Oh, no. So there we go. Back to that. Right. Yeah. So
there's plenty of, I have friends of mine that they just do not want their guy going down.
I remember my college boyfriend not wanting, would say, oh, I'm not going to go down on you because you've been with another guy. I'm like, well, that was 3 years ago when I was involved in that relationship. Like my first boyfriend, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, or I took a shower this morning.
Yeah.
Like, really?
I know. And so let's talk about that. We were saying before we started this recording that you found, even, you know, for whatever reason, guys don't want to hear about your ex partners.
No.
And I always like to hear, that's important to me. I want to know who I'm with. I want the whole, if you can remember every single person's name and tell me a little about them, I'm so curious. I find you more fascinating. If you've had more partners, it means you've had experience and it means someone else found you desirable. I have no problem. And if a guy had a problem finding out that I slept with more than five guys or whatever, and they think I'm a whorish, well, that shows about them.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's really cool when you talk about them, not necessarily with who the first person they were with, but who taught them. You know, when you get these guys that are really, really good, that really pay attention to you as a woman, somebody taught them.
Yeah, usually an older woman.
And it's always neat to be able to hear their story. So I agree. But no, I found lately, and it's odd because, you know, it's just you would think that that when people get older, they'd be more open and they become less open.
And you found the guys are more
and more closed and they don't want to hear it. And I'm like, wait a minute. You think I had no past?
Right.
But they'll talk a little, they'll talk about what they went through but they don't even offer that up that
openly.
Isn't
it usually
either
a complaint? Oh, my wife just stopped having sex with me, or, oh, she wouldn't give me a head, or, you know, she wasn't ever in the mood.
Do you find that hearing about the other person's past experiences is arousing?
No.
I do.
Sometimes you do?
Yeah.
I've heard that from people as well.
I love that. Are you kidding me? I'm like, tell me more.
Yeah. I'm not the same way either. I'm like, I'm more interested in when, like, we're analyzing it, like, oh, this is your experience, this is my experience, you know, but it does not turn me on in the slightest.
I love it.
See, and I don't think
I get jealous either.
Get jealous. I like to hear it because I like to get to know people. So when you share stories of your life, it's how I get to know you.
So that's why you do like it.
That's why I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like for mom, it's something different where it's actually erotic.
Right.
It is.
So why is it erotic?
I don't know. Same reason I like fantasizing about anybody.
Yeah,
I like fantasizing who my boyfriend with another woman. That's erotic to me.
Do you fantasize about your boyfriend with another woman?
When he's telling me stories about his past, which he really doesn't even like to do, I'm like, come on, just give me one nugget. Tell me something.
Wow.
I want to know why some people are turned on by that and why some people it's a big turn off. It would be a turn off for me.
I think it's any kink. It's like anybody that's into, like, why do I like
walking
around naked in front of the Treasury building? Why why did Roxanne want to take her clothes off in front of the whole pool? I mean, it's just whatever you like to do. Some people get into that. I like to hear stories and fantasize. I like role playing. I like all that stuff.
Although I will tell you guys do like to hear stories about threesomes.
Oh, tell us.
With women,
speaking
though.
Of threesomes,
not if a woman was with two guys.
Have you had a threesome, Roxanne?
Yes, I have.
Tell.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I already told you.
I have not heard.
Yeah. Roxanne,
it's been a while. You know, it's been a long time.
But it's like it's so fun to hear about it.
It was fun. It was with my best friend, so it was even more fun. And it's so funny because we're still best friends.
And
we just
woman
laugh
or
about it. A woman. Yeah. I'm not into two guys.
So it was two women.
It was two women and a guy. And actually, for the most part, we didn't pay much attention the first time to the guy. It was more about us.
So it was a repeated experience.
And then the second time, then another time it was with this really hot guy. So
how did you end up in that situation?
Good question. It just went there. It wasn't even...
Were you like out at a bar or somewhere with this woman and then suddenly...
The one time we were. We were at a restaurant, the three of us, and we just went somewhere. We went to...
Did you randomly pick up this guy?
No.
It was a friend of yours as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, so we went back to a place. We went somewhere. I think we were we playing cards or strip poker or something? And one thing led to another. And we were all drinking and got wasted. And then, had a threesome. The next time he wanted to, we didn't want to. We were not. We were like, nah, we've been there, done that.
Oh, interesting.
And that was it.
And then the second time, how did you find the really hot guy?
Oh, that was him. The first time was a guy that we both knew.
Gotcha.
And we went away together.
Did alcohol need to be involved?
I don't know. You know what? Probably at the time, but I have to tell you that in the recent years, the best sex that I have is sober sex.
Oh,
without a doubt.
100%. For me,
100%. Wait. Without weed?
Without weed, without drugs, without booze. Oh, yeah.
I like weed.
So I'm not saying I don't like weed, but I'm saying that it's unbelievable. Because when we're young, like your age, when you're young, you always think everything revolves around drinking.
Well, that's because
back in the day when I grew up with Quaaludes, where everybody was, popping ludes and getting and having sex with each other.
I've been talking about that on the podcast frequently.
Yeah, have you?
Oh, yeah.
She fucking loves them.
Loves them. Well, she's in my decade.
Yeah, I love them.
I think for people my age, and especially, when you're in college, drinking is such a critical part of even being in the mindset of being able to be vulnerable with someone else and to have sex with
Lessen
them.
Lessen the inhibitions.
It lessens the inhibitions. It kind of allows you like a pass to kind of act
outside your comfort zone.
Outside your comfort zone. So I think in my experience, though, having sober sex is so much more, I get so much more sensitive and I'm so much more present than if I were
exactly.
not, you know,
exactly.
If I were fucked up at all.
Right.
I think of sex, it needs to be a certain level of relaxation, which is why I typically don't like morning sex. And I think I'm more about the ambiance and then the relaxed nature. And my most relaxing time is if I take one hit of weed. And not just to relax me, because it heightens my sensitivity in all areas of my body, just smell, to taste, to feel everything. And I think that's why I like that added bonus.
Do you have weed every time you have sex?
Lately, yes. Just I'll take one little hit.
And is D smoking with you, or is this a solo experience?
It's a solo experience.
I couldn't even imagine being on completely different pages. I mean, I guess in 10 years into a relationship, I could imagine this. But for me, being with someone who I'm just getting to know and I'm a little fucked up and they're sober would be completely out of...
Me a little fucked up and D's normal is about the same. Roxanne knows D's.
That is hilarious. We are coming up on time over here.
No
believe
way.
It or not.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to some of the good stories.
That's okay. I'll come back.
Well, we can keep recording a little bit longer
for our
patrons. So if you want to Roxanne and hear some more fun details, sign on to Patreon, patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. We'll post some stuff there. I wanted to end...
We didn't even do the rapid fire
questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are you down to do a little rapid fire question?
Sure.
Okay.
Go for it.
So we got 12 questions here that we'll ask really quickly and you can give us a quick response.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How did you learn about sex growing up?
How did I learn about sex growing up? Probably, girlfriends. Yeah.
In three words, how would you describe the first time you had sex?
He was huge.
No way.
That was one of the best answers I think we've ever gotten.
Did you know he was that big going into it?
No.
Growing into it?
No. And you know what's so funny? Because I really would love to ask him now, is he really that big? He was huge. Huge.
Or maybe it just seemed that way.
Yeah, you find out now it was huge. Just because your first time.
I mean, how old were you?
We were, I think, 17.
So 17, 18.
Was it painful? Or
oh, he was huge.
But maybe he wasn't huge.
I think
maybe
soft, it went down to his knee. I swear to God, he was huge. Yeah, he was huge.
I see that sometimes the Korean spy. I'm like, how is this person? How are we even the same species? Okay. Tell us about your most memorable sex experience. Or whatever just flashed before your eyes.
Oh, God. A big smile,
too. Yeah, really. My most memorable was with a guy that I was just recently broke up with a few months ago. And we'd have sex everywhere, all over the house. in front of mirror. And it would just be whatever would come to his mind, we would go there. So, yeah, I would have to say my most memorable.
Were you contributing in that as well? Or was
absolutely.
It, okay.
Oh, yeah.
What is the number one thing that turns you on?
Kissing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
With a good kisser. Yep.
Whoa.
I'm agreeing with her.
And for me, it does nothing. I very rarely.
Maybe you haven't been with a good kisser.
I was with one person where I felt like my whole body was doing weird things. But other than that, it kind of is like I could kiss a wall. It's the same. It's a similar experience. Okay. What is your greatest asset in the bedroom?
My inhibition.
Or lack thereof.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Lack there. Yeah.
That's a great response.
Inhibited. Yeah.
That is a very interesting response. Inhibition.
No inhibitions.
And I think people can pick that up. Like they're like, I can kind of be myself around this person because they're not putting up walls. Okay. How do you choose who to have sex with?
I've got to really be into you. I have to be attracted to you and I have to want to be with you.
Is it mental or physical or both?
It used to be physical, more physical. Now it's more mental, without a doubt.
The next question, a lot of people choose to pass on, so feel free to pass.
Cam, why are you leading like that?
Well, because I'm wondering asking this question.
No, I don't like anal.
How many?
Is that what it was?
That's later in the list. This one is, how many people have you slept with?
Oh, shit. Duh, I have no clue.
Oh, wow.
Good answer.
Do you identify with a specific sexual orientation?
As in, am I into guys or women?
Heterosexual, bisexual, pansexual?
No, I'm heterosexual.
Is there anything you haven't tried that you'd like to try?
No.
And then what is your preference when it comes to anal? Look at that.
I love to have my ass played with, but I'm not into anal sex.
I think this is most people's response, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Although it's becoming more and more popular, so who knows?
Yeah.
How often do you watch porn and what's your opinion on it?
I don't watch porn anymore. I haven't watched porn in a long time. My opinion, I don't need porn to get turned on. It's probably why I don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love watching Cinemax and I loved watching Ed Powers. You know Ed?
Mm-mm.
He used to do interviews. So he would take girls before they went to Vivid, and he would do interviews with them and get them to do things.
My casting couch. She likes the same thing.
Dirty Debutantes. He had a whole hundreds of series of them.
Because he's just like interviewing them and suddenly they're fucking.
Exactly.
See, this is exactly what I like.
That's what I like. So it's all the mental thing.
Go on Pornhub or one of those and check out Casting Couch.
Okay.
When was the last time you had sex?
Last time I had sex, let's see. Well, I've been traveling. So I left town a week ago. So a week ago.
Have you ever walked in on a parent having sex, or has a child walked in on you having sex, or vice versa?
Yeah. My daughter walked in on me and my
awkward?
Boyfriend. Yeah, she just brought it up the other day.
What happened?
Wait, how long ago was this?
Oh, God, she was young, so it had to have been 10 years or more ago. And my son heard us through the vents.
And you found that out. That was awful.
How did your daughter respond?
We just said, I don't even remember. She kind of walked in and we pulled the, blankets over us and
frantic
said, go out. Yeah. Yeah. But she brought it up the other day. It was kind of funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It didn't seem to scar.
And did a parent ever walk in on you having sex?
No.
Or vice versa?
I never walked in on my parents.
Okay.
No.
And what is the biggest red flag for you?
Biggest red flag for me? Jesus. That's hard because I'm so liberal that I'm I really give every people chances and chances.
Well, when you say red flag, I think we're referring to, like, if you're looking for a man, what would be the biggest red flag?
This is your question, by the way.
Yeah. What would be the biggest red
flag? Like, what would be something that you'd say no?
Oh, no. I think, no would be if I found out that he ever abused anybody. I would never.
Oh, interesting.
No way. Yeah.
And then that makes a lot of sense. Tell us about a time when you felt intimate with someone but didn't necessarily have sex. If there's ever been a time.
Oh, no, actually, I have. I have a guy best friend, and we've been so intimate without sex that everybody thought we were having sex all the time.
Wow.
And we never
Did you even
were having
kiss
sex.
Or anything like that?
We've kissed, yeah.
So what do you think is preventing the sex?
For the longest time, I think we felt that it would ruin our relationship if we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, about a year ago, and this had been going on for years and years, we were out one night with a group of people. I wonder if you were even there.
Probably wasn't. I wasn't.
And we were getting ready to leave the restaurant, and he and I just looked at each other and went in the bathroom, and we're like, oh, what the fuck? If everybody already believes it, let's just do it. And
oh,
we had
wow.
sex in the bathroom. It was very
oh,
cool.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
So you ended up doing it.
Yeah.
So that is not a time when you felt intimate with someone.
But we were intimate for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Without it before we did. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's where we should end and start our Patreon only chat, our Patreon select.
We're going to talk about,
Having
relationships with someone. Can you just be friends?
Harry and Sally.
When yes. Harry met Sally, yes.
We're going to jump on that.
We have talked about that before, Roxanne, and we should definitely get on that one.
Patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. Roxanne, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun.
This has been wonderful. You.